Sup, bitches? It's Barry After Hours with Iris.
Yo, yo, yo.
And so we just finished recording an episode with Peter and
Gwen.
Sorry, I had a like burp coming up and I held it in. And anyways, so yeah, they were here, we recorded, and now this is us after hours.
It's pretty early for us. Usually we're at this into the wee hours of the morning, but yeah. They had to go home early to take care of their spawn.
Mama Junior.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we thought we'd give this a try. We have, as if you heard the last episode, you heard that we got new gear and stuff, so we had everything out, and it took us forever to get everything set up. So we didn't really get that long to record, so I didn't really want to put everything away right after that.
All that work.
It took forever to figure out everything.
Like at least an hour?
Yeah, and then when we had to restart right now, I forgot how to do it all over again. Yeah. But it looks like we have it somewhat under control now. Right?
I would say so.
And see, and that's the thing right there. You need to be able to fill it. That's what she said.
Fill the holes?
Yeah.
Balls in holes?
Put balls in holes?
I can do that.
Can you?
I haven't myself.
So I saw it in a film once. I believe it was Backdoor Sluts 2.
Backdoor Sluts 9.
9? No, there were 9 of them. Maybe that's where they got the 9 from.
No, the name of the porn that they had to take back to Blockbuster was Backdoor Sluts 9.
Are you referencing a movie?
No, it's a South Park episode.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't watch South Park very much.
I didn't like it, but it felt
rebellious.
Like as a little kid, the fact that you could turn to Comedy Central and like, oh, it's a cartoon, but oh, what did they just show?
But I feel like Rick and Morty is like that version of it to like a million.
Oh, but so much smarter.
Yeah. I had a couple of friends that watched it when we were in middle school, high school maybe. Hector was really into it. I wasn't. And there was this other person. Oh, Christine was also really into it, but I never understood why.
Huh.
Like, I guess it is a rebellious thing, because I remember hearing from Hector saying that he'd watch it, like, really low in his room, so it's kind of like, I'm rebelling against the system. Yeah. And I think the other one also did it kind of to spite her parents.
Ooh, I wasn't trying to spite anyone, It was on late at night, and it was a cartoon. But you know what I mean?
Like, oh, you must not, like, watch that, because it's improper for kids to be listening to those words.
Wow. Just nothing on Cartoon Network, Disney, or Nickelodeon was good, so, you know, you flip through the channel. Privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Privilege. Sorry. It was 1 through 12 when I went to my grandma's house, if that makes it any different.
1 Bunny through 12? With bunny ears. Mm-hmm. I remember that we used to get ours from my grandfather who lived next door for a little while. Until his dick stepson would like unplug ours so we wouldn't be able to watch.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. I don't know if it was like because he didn't like us or he didn't want us to have it. It could have been his mom. I don't know. Like imagine being that petty and like, fuck them.
Like, no TV for you.
TV. Yeah.
You don't even get 12 channels. So what's the purpose of this, Barry?
I don't think there is a purpose to it. I think it was just like free flowing. Yeah. See what happens, see where it goes.
Free balling?
Yep.
Free balling.
Yeah. It's weird having such a high pitched voice be the only voice that's coming back to me.
You have a high-pitched voice?
Yes, my high-pitched voice.
Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, we thought we'd give it a shot. I feel like we went on a tangent See, we can't. You can't just do that. It's
co-signing.
What's the point of having another person on here if I don't?
What's the third one? There's tangent, cosine, and
tan.
That's tangent.
Tangent, cosine, and stop making me feel stupid.
I don't remember either. If it makes you feel any better.
No, but I feel like you brought up some like mathematical stuff just to
break with me.
Yeah.
I hate math anyway.
I didn't like it either. I was quite decent at it, but I didn't like it.
So we have a list of potential ideas, but we're freeballing. We might
get into them.
We might not touch a couple of them. Just a little tickle.
Yeah, but tickle. I feel like this episode is so freeform that I just don't know where to go with it.
Ooh, Freeform, isn't that a new TV cable company? Freeform.
Freeform?
Oh, it's not Freeform, it's digital, right?
Is it digital?
I think so.
I don't know.
Hence Freeform. Yeah. Much like this podcast.
Now I've started thinking about Happy because of that.
Oh,
Happy was a good show.
That was a really cool show.
It was crazy. If you didn't watch it, you suck because it was a good show.
It was funny, but you know what? I didn't see anyone on all of my social media platforms mention it. And I'm friends with some nerds.
Yeah. But I think it's maybe because Happy is, like, too new still. Like, it's not.
It's got to be like The Walking Dead. Like, have a season where nobody knows it exists. And that maybe. One person picks it up and.
But no, but I was going to say that it's kind of different because The Walking Dead already had quite a few.
Game of Thrones as a TV show.
Well, like, no, but. Well, I guess to an extent, but there's still a big library of it behind. What I'm saying is, Happy, that was the first run of Happy, and they decided to make a show right away on it.
Oh, the network it was on didn't help either.
FX? Was it, really? Yeah, no.
Paramount.
No, that was the other one. That was Wacko.
Mm.
Waco. Oh,
Waco.
Yeah. Let's just talk about shows that we've discovered.
Those people were crazy. That whole situation sucked.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know anything about it prior to that show.
And that was the freaking weird thing. I was like, how do you not know about this?
No, I'd never heard of that before. I knew the OJ trial before we watched the OJ.
Everybody knew about OJ, though.
Yeah, but I would imagine like a standoff between government and an evangelical church would be something I would know about.
That's something you should know about, considering the space you live in. There it is, the space you work in.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah, Waco was good. I only knew about it because of a podcast.
Did Podcastings. It involve Kevin Smith?
No.
Who?
No, I listened to a couple like murder mystery.
That's normal.
Podcast. There's one that this chap does from Australia Case File. I think it's called Case File.
Hey.
Yeah.
Did you come here to die?
Nah, I came here yesterday. Yesterday.
You said it so wrong.
You say it yesterday.
So this Australian comes to the States, right?
Does he?
And apparently there's no jaywalking in Australia.
Yeah.
So he's just doing his thing in the streets. And he, it almost fell on me. So he's crossing the street and he's not looking for cars. And so this guy almost hits him and the driver is so pissed off. He goes, "Hey, did you come here to die?" And the Australian smiles. And he goes, "Nah, mate. I came here yesterday."
It still gets me. Rise up, lights.
Rise up, lights.
Anyways.
Rise up, lights.
So I think those are the two shows that we kind of got onto that I don't, like you said, I don't think a lot of people were onto. Like, we're watching it actively anyways.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that it came out on the Paramount Network because that used to be Spike.
Happy was on the Science Channel?
Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi?
Was it sci-fi? Yeah, it was sci-fi.
Sci-fi? Yeah.
Sci-fi.
Science. science fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're only halfway there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, Happy is about a guy that was an ex-detective who went down the wrong, like, made the all the crooked choices.
Drugs.
Well, yeah, that I think that came after the fact. But it was all stemming from the reason he started using stuff was because he couldn't talk about it with his wife.
He couldn't talk about his work.
With his wife.
The, like, heaviness of his detective work.
That, I mean, that was the whole reason I moved it towards you, so you would be close to it, and then you reclined so far away from it.
Oh, I just feel so loud when I'm this close to it.
Well, that's the point, or else you're not getting picked up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I'm holding mine, because I don't want to keep hunching over towards it.
Well, now I'm not eating my ice cream.
Yeah, but do you have hands?
I'm cool like this. I just needed a place to lean.
Oh. You want to lean in?
Yeah.
Lean back. Lean back. Oh, I fucking hated that song. But yeah, so this detective, he won't talk about his work with his wife because of the, like...
killing and spilling.
Exactly. So he, like, held that all in. And
he was also having sex with his partner.
Yes, but that doesn't come till later. You're jumping the gun. You're, like, in your world...
You're giving away the whole show.
Well, fuck them. If they haven't seen it, then they're getting a recap right now, and they'll want to go watch it.
Okay.
No, but before that, before he started having sex with his partner, he was just, like, holding everything in, and that's when he started doing drugs. And... no, you're right.
Yeah.
So the girl came in. So he started talking to his partner about it. So the girl he starts to screw while he's a cop is his partner. Because they don't talk about it with anybody else.
Yeah, so they kind of have each other.
Yep.
Anyway, keep going. Because there's Happy doesn't... Yeah, it's happy, not the guy isn't happy.
No, well, obviously he's not happy. That's the whole irony of the name and the main character of the show. Yeah, so he ends up, his wife ends up kind of catching them in it, and the wife gets pregnant and doesn't tell him.
She was going to tell him, but he was like freaking out.
Yeah.
He was having a freak out about work.
So then she decides to leave him, and that's when he starts to spiral down and
drugs. It's really bad.
So flash forward, like 9 years. I think the little girl's 9 at that point, or mm-hmm. 8. The mom and the daughter go to this fucking, like, Tinky Winky motherfucker.
Like the Wiggles Live.
Yeah. They go to a concert, and she gets kidnapped by this weird fucking weird
Santa Claus. The little girl, not the dad.
The little girl gets, yeah, obviously. Yeah, the little girl gets kidnapped by a weird fucking tweaker Santa, which ends up having another, like, a crazy backstory to him,
too. Yeah, his backstory was crazy.
And sad.
Yeah, but still. Oh, and it came out right around Christmas time.
Oh, yeah, it was coming out during Christmas, and it was all Christmassy during the episode.
So it made the, like, Christmas season kind of dark in our house.
But it was cool. It was, like, remember in Stranger Things when that lady put up the Christmas lights inside his house to communicate with his kid?
Blink, blink. Blink, well, blink.
Oh my god, that's another connection, because not the Christmas lights, but there's a... It happens during Christmas at the same time where this kid goes missing too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Will! Will!
Will! Will, get your ass out of here. Anyways, so the little girl gets kidnapped, and she sends her imaginary friend...
He's a unicorn. To find him.
He's a little flying unicorn.
He's blue.
He's adorable. He's voiced by Patton Oswalt, I want to say. Might be wrong.
That sounds right.
But what other show were we watching?
We were literally just looking at that.
We were, anyways. So the little unicorn comes and starts asking him for help to help
and
him go save
Haley. He can see his daughter's imaginary friend. That's
the
weird thing.
He's so fucked up that he can actually see the unicorn. And that's, like, basically the first episode of him trying to dealing with it, thinking that it's a hallucination.
And that's basically the rest of the show.
No, but then it comes a point where they go to a poker game, and he and Happy starts giving him the cards that the other people are holding. And he's like, "Oh, it's just like some. There's like a bunch of red diamonds, and there's seven of them." Some weird shit like that, and he goes like, "Wait, you can see their cards," and that's when he kind of, it hits him that the imaginary friend is real. But not so much imaginary. Well, he is very imaginary.
No one else can see him. Oh, except for that Santa. The creepy Santa
can see him. Can see him too.
He eats him.
Oh, it's so cray cray. I fucking love that show. So that's a good show. And it takes some dark fucking turns.
It's dark. Don't watch it with your children. They'll want to watch it because that thing is cute.
Because that thing is so cute. And I maybe might have let them watch it, but no.
It's crazy, especially when you... Yeah, no, you gotta watch it.
But the other show that we were talking about... Well, I say wacko because I don't like saying the actual name because it's kind of sad. And by kind of, it's very sad. There's a lot of potential like ramifications of that that are still being felt by the whole entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can see how that, it amplified it to, like, a million. And you can see how it's shaped some of the political spectrum in that way to put it in that perspective to build, really bring home their, I guess you can call it agenda, how some people refer to the liberalist agenda. But, yeah, there's the show basically... Is it's based around a cult. I can't remember the name of it, but I had known about it through another podcast that's called Cults Aptly.
The Davidians.
I can't remember the first part of the. There's an actual name. The name of their cult is actually a branch off another...
Branch Davidians.
The Branch Davidians.
That's literally what they're called.
Yeah. Because they branched off of this other cultish, Christian-based cult.
Because of David...
David Koresh.
Yeah.
Who was their leader. And it was all because of the way he interpreted, like, the end of times. Like, the way he interpreted
it
was...
The seven seals. Or is it three?
Seven seals. And... How those seven seals would bring, I guess, not. I don't know if it's the rapture that he was kind of referencing or...
I think that's exactly what he was referencing.
Or something to that extent. Or end of times going up, ascending to heaven mm-hmm. or some shit like that.
That bit.
And, yeah, so basically this guy has a bunch of people that are in his cult. And they live in this, I wouldn't call it a compound because it's not that extreme. But they lived on a ranch and it was very, like...
They called it a compound.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in the now terms of a compound, like, where you think of, like,
a
bunch of buildings surrounded by, like, a concrete wall and stuff, you know, like a bunker.
Yeah.
Like, this is where we're going to bunker down, you know,
mm-hmm.
and make our stand, which it's kind of aptly that they had something like that, though.
Yeah.
Because in a big way, that's what they were doing. Yeah.
Hard way.
But yeah, so this guy was decided that they were gonna arm themselves because essentially at the end of the day everybody else was gonna die and they were gonna try to when they finally found them or something they were gonna try to break in so they had to protect themselves from that so they started stockpiling arms and different sort of explosives and accessories to it, if you will, to modify those things. And they're in Texas, obviously, because this is the one place where you can really do that.
Yeehaw.
And so the way that at first nobody like really cared for them, the town there was like very like almost welcoming of them. Like they didn't think too much of them. They're like, oh, they're just religious. They're off doing their own little thing in that place. And as long as they're not causing anybody any problems, then I guess we're okay. But it so happened that they had ordered either grenades or something to that extent, something that related to, like, big explosives. were going to get delivered by the FedEx or some shit like that. I don't know if FedEx was back then or it was that operational.
Whatever the courier was.
Whatever the courier was. Found, like, the box broke and one of these things, like, fell out. So then he reported it to the FBI or the proper authorities in this case. And the FBI got a hold of it. And they're like, oh, shit, these people might be, like, some sort of homegrown terrorist, like, situation going on.
The fuck?
And this is on the heels of that shit that was going on in the, like, Northwest. Where people wanted to live off the grid and be off on their own. And they had, like, they had firearms to protect themselves from whatever, you know? And I can't quite remember, but the reasoning behind the fact that they were looking for this one character, this one person.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, I popped right there.
Ooh.
This one person, there was special interest in him. So they ended up having a police standoff. And things didn't go right. There's one of the people had the impression or the orders to shoot on sight as long as like they had an open shot or something like that, or they thought they had a good enough shot. So this guy literally took the shot and ended up killing the person and the kid, right?
Yeah.
Or something to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that were pro guns back then were like, well, now you're saying we can't even keep guns like that. You're not going to allow us to keep guns, even if like they essentially said, you can't take away our guns no matter what. Because this person, I think, according to the FBI, I can't quite remember. That's the only issue here. Watch the show because it breaks it down a little bit more, like in depth into the reason why these things had ramifications at the Branch Davidians.
It's crazy and it's sad.
Yeah. But anyway, so they were very gung-ho, the FBI, at like treating all of them like badly.
Like they were all criminals. Like
they were all crazy. And it just so happens that they found one that really was crazy. But the way they went about it was the wrong way.
Way wrong. Sort of that military exerting too much force.
Well, it was the police.
But they were like militarized police, no?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The militarization of the police.
Yeah. Because it sounded like you're saying like the military came in.
No, I meant what I said.
Yeah. So, I mean, but at one point they do end up bringing them in, which is kind of funny. So they been surveilling the Branch Davidians because of this one thing that happened. And they found out that they had been stockpiling things, and now they were going to go, like, keep a really close eye, so they send an undercover agent to try to infiltrate them.
Mm, and then they find all of Crush's dirty laundry. Like,
yeah,
he's breaking laws by doing
shady stuff
with underage girls.
So one of the things that they said during in their group was, that David Kerr said that nobody could be married. So he dissolved all the marriages and essentially could
pick. No, they could be married.
Could they be married?
Yeah, because that young kid marries that one girl's sister.
But that was only because of they were getting caught, hot on them.
That's right.
He ends up having an affair, or not an affair. Like, this was, I guess you can't call it an affair when everybody's on the up and up on it.
Yeah, so Koresh can have sex with anyone.
With anyone. He has people that he will take as quote-unquote wives. And but this, like Iris said, it included girls that were like way underage. You're talking 12 years old. Like, that's really creepy. So yeah, and the parents would allow this. That's the crazy thing. Like, the parents would be like, oh yeah, you,
and if you were the former partner of someone that he was sleeping with or had a kid with, you had to just deal with it.
Yep, apparently. And he would he recruited one of the other guys that ended up being one of the few survivors of it. He recruited him, and this is the guy that he fake married to get the law off of him. He fake married this girl he married her. David married the girl with this other guy. But the funny thing is that they both really liked each other. And on the night of their wedding, when they were going to go off, you know, consummate the marriage, if you will, David walks in and goes like, oh, what are you doing up in the girls'
quarters?
You need to go down. You need to go to your room, essentially telling it to the guy as he puts his arm around the girl and walks her off into a bedroom. That's some prima, like, what is it, prima nocta?
I enact prima nocta. The Office.
Yeah. Prima nocta is when you go and have sex with the bride before she has sex with her own husband. Yeah. I don't think people are going to be too okay with that. Ooh. But in David Koresh's, apparently it is.
Ooh. As long as it's him. He always has to be the...
Yeah.
Well, no, the husband doesn't even get to sleep with her.
No, it's just him. That's what we're saying. He absolves the marriage just for that very reason. Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah. And so at one point when the... Excuse me, it's getting late. When the FBI infiltrator comes in and they're like, that guy ain't, like, the people from the church, like, that guy doesn't seem quite right. Like, that he supposedly bought this ranch that is, like, across the street from the Branch Davidians in the middle of fucking nowhere. They happen to be neighbors, right? Like, that house was empty and all of a sudden you're in here and you're, like, kind of poking your nose at things. Like, I don't know. So then they'd find out for sure that he's FBI, and they invite him over. David's idea was like, oh, I can turn him. I can turn him into a follower, which is weird the way they portray it in the show is like you don't know if he actually did or didn't flip him, because it looks like for a long time he was defending them, defending the Branch Davidians, because he didn't actually see any of the weaponry or their like real agenda, I guess you could say. So he only saw him as a kind of as a guy who was bringing the word of God, I guess, to the world. So it he still had his suspicions, but he didn't allow his suspicions to
make him dislike him. He saw the human side to him, which is usually the folly of most.
Yep. So, sorry, I'm just like had a few long days. So it doesn't help that...
Barry's been running real fast.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And anyway, so going back to the previous installment of our show here. The FBI doesn't want to wait for the guy to complete his report, essentially. He's like, no, we're going in. And so...
Almost to the wall.
Yeah. They end up deciding like, okay, we're going to push in anyways. But the Ranch Davidians somehow find out that they were coming. So they like prepared for them to show up. And the FBI undercover guy goes and John Luke Leguizamo? Is that how you say? I can't remember how to say his name. He's trying to warn them as they're driving past him in like fucking in their like parade of fucking cars with FBI agents and fucking police, military at some point, trying to warn them off. It's like, hey, they know you're coming. They know you're coming. Like, chill out. But nobody heeds his warning. So they show up to the place and ask the Ranch Davidians to, like, surrender their arms and come out. And all the while, they're trying to surround the compound. And they just so happen... The Branch Davidians kept dogs on their property. So as soon as they saw the dogs, they went after them and like took them out. So they shoot off their gun. So the Branch Davidians retaliate, defending themselves at that point, believing that they're being shot at, and start shooting back. And this is when I think David comes out and says, don't shoot. Like, there's kids and women in here. Like, don't shoot. And they end up shooting him when he's coming out of the door, trying to get them to stop. At this point, you get a whole bunch of confusion because you have the FBI saying, oh, they shot first, and the Branch Davidians are like, oh, no, they shot first. But I think there was a news guy there.
Yeah.
That was recording everything, but they just so happened to lose the tape. They ask him for the tape, and then they all of a sudden, like, magically have it disappear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should watch it or Google it.
Yeah. Or podcast it, apparently.
Google the real thing. Yeah. Before Barry tells you the rest.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. It painted both sides. It overpainted the FBI as being super gung-ho about how they were going to do things. Because there's a whole entire, like, subplot where the FBI, the regular FBI agents want to go in brute force. And there's this guy who's doing negotiation tactics to try to, like, calm the situation down and bring it to a peaceful resolution. Like, there are two conflicting ideas in there. Like, one says patience and the other one says, no, fuck it, brute force.
America.
And that that reminds me of that other show we were watching, Mindhunters.
Yeah.
On Netflix. Now that show was actually
that was a good one.
It was a good one.
It was short lived.
Yeah, it was only one season so far.
Did we binge watch it?
Yeah, we did. It wasn't that long.
Oh, okay.
So that's another show about a guy who's building a profile on how to, like, spot certain types of characters like psychopaths.
So this was before that information existed. So he was trying to build that data.
He was trying to collect it to get an idea of if there was a way to,
can we understand a psychopath so we can prevent?
Yeah. It's a lot of, like, what we're hearing about with gun control and stuff now. It's like, that's the other, like.
So many mental issues.
But there's only, like, 4% of Americans that have, like, real mental issues. So, like, they're saying that just, like, if we apply, like, basic math to it, so only psychopaths or only mentally ill people shouldn't have guns. So that's only 4% of the population. So that, like, it doesn't seem to quite add up to keep people from shooting the shit out of each other with big guns.
No, what you need to do
is arm everyone.
Is to stop being a snowflake and walk over to that kid that's sitting by himself at the lunch table and be like, hey, I want to be your friend.
That's so funny because I don't remember them doing that. I remember them like the way that those times are portrayed as like they were just mocking everyone.
No, like you mean then. In that show or in general?
No, and just in general, like,
well, the way
past, the ones that are saying, hey, go talk to the loner kid, were the same ones that were like, oh, look, the loner kid, ha, ha, ha.
Those were the jocks and the cheerleaders. Look at Jimmy and his glasses. Let's pull his suspenders.
Yeah, let's snap their bras, whatever.
Yeah, but they're the ones definitely now saying, just go stop being mean. Just go over and talk to him.
The irony of that, of them saying that and then looking at people that aren't from here and being like, get the fuck out of here, you blah, blah, blah.
The funny, or not funny, but there was a meme I saw that countered that. Like, what if you going over and talking to that kid is his trigger?
Yeah, maybe he wants to be, like,
left alone. Maybe he wants to be left alone.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like just saying that it's mental illness is not correct either.
No, it's a scapegoat.
It definitely is, because, I mean, if you take those, like, certain types of weaponry out of the game, out of the normal hands, like, you restrict the access to said weapon or said object in this case. It's like saying, okay, if we have a massive, like, epidemic, I guess, of sugar, right? Like, mm-hmm. People are getting diabetes, you cost your own diabetes. It wasn't something that just developed.
Obesity kills more people than guns, but that doesn't mean we ignore guns.
Exactly. But no, it's like saying, okay, we're going to take out all, like, we're going to, I'm getting lost in my own thoughts because of what we smoked before.
What?
But, yeah, it's just like, we can't, like, if you take away the sugar, then all those diabetes people won't get, like, those potential people that could get diabetes won't be able to get develop diabetes that easily.
Correct.
So you restrict the item that's causing it, and therefore the numbers will go down. Like, this still doesn't, it's not saying that it's not going to happen, but it's just, like, very, very less likely to happen.
Here's something I just thought of. So I don't know if you've seen, but they're starting to, in some schools, arm kids with rocks.
So
here's my...
So somebody comes in with a gun.
Here's my, like, response to that is, if you're in one breath saying, go over to that kid and talk, that loner kid, and talk to him, be his friend. Oh, but I'm going to arm you with rocks. Aren't you sending mixed messages?
Yeah.
You're saying, be peaceful, friendly, but also be aware that someone still might hurt you despite you being peaceful and friendly. Mm. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I just think it's funny that they decide that the best, like, thing to help prevent this issue is to give people rocks to throw at somebody throwing bullets.
You know, Americans love suing. So what'll happen is one of these rocks gets thrown at one kid throws another rock at another kid and, I don't know, breaks his nose or something like that. Won't that open up a different can of worms?
Well, so you're saying they're always carrying these rocks?
Well, I didn't read into it. I'm just saying just the thought of kids being armed with rocks at school.
But that's what I'm saying. So you're saying every kid has to be armed with rocks at all times for this magical scenario to occur.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're giving kids rocks, and this is no different than boys play fighting.
Again, I'm asking you this very poignant question.
Oh, so let's just say that they're given a little satchel that they get to wear throughout the day.
Okay, I can see that. But so in order to defend ourselves from gun, you're saying everybody has to carry a little satchel of rocks at all time because we don't know when it's going
to
happen.
According to this universe.
Oh, okay.
Not according to me.
Because I was like, when I picture, like, okay, let's give kids rocks in a
But no,
gun
would
situation.
You, like, only give it to them at recess? Would you give it to them during certain points of the day
do
in
they
class?
Does somebody hold the rocks in?
No,
and they're off. And they're like every classroom has a designated bucket of rocks.
My understanding is that it's on the person. It's on each person's person.
Well, in that case, you were giving a lot of responsibility to those kids, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I can. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, I was just trying to define where these rocks were coming from.
It's a Sioux happy nation, apparently. So I just yeah. And it's funny because I feel like those that sue are probably more conservative because people that sue have money to sue and they're upset about everything.
Yeah.
My coffee burnt my lip.
Yeah, that would be kind of crazy. Except for the McDonald's lady who actually did suffer quite
bad. It was scalding and she was older and it burnt her legs.
It was scalding because their machines were heating the water past a certain safe spot.
Yeah. No, I wasn't trying to mock her, but I'm just saying.
But that's what I felt like it was coming from. I was like, wait a second.
No, it's like if I, you know, when you take a sip of your coffee or your chocolate way too soon, you burn yourself, but not like third degree burns, but it's enough to make you go, ah, and then your tongue gets numb and scratchy.
Yeah. Oh, I just remember like that feeling.
Yeah. But it's like suing over that. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would be really upset if my son took a rock to the head. Now, are we talking? We don't know the size of the rocks. I mean, if you're trying to ward someone off,
is it a well-regulated satchel of rocks?
I don't know. If you're trying to fend off a gunman, so what are you gonna give these kids, pebbles?
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, I was mocking the people that don't read the Second Amendment.
Like they're forming a little rock militia.
Well-regulated militia. So well-regulated ammo of rocks. And now, okay, so now let's picture this. Okay, they have a satchel, but they also get a slingshot.
But okay,
you
here's
get
the
a slingshot
thing, though,
too.
So we arm. So people have guns. We
teachers,
arm. We
teachers
arm
have
people.
Guns.
No. There's the gunman. There's the person
who has the gun.
Yes.
Who comes into the school.
Then so we're arming kids with rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rocks themselves then become a weapon for violence.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have to arm with another thing to arm off the rocks. It becomes one of those little dominoes.
It's just, But I think, I think the teachers have the guns too. And the kids have the slingshots. And the little kids have those, David versus Goliath? I don't know if you remember, like, he had this little, like, to throw his rock. I don't know what it's called. And he would fling it. That's the little kid's version of it. And that would be so catastrophic because they would like end up hitting each other because they have no aim.
Mm-hmm. I would rather them have like lacrosse sticks.
Yeah. If anybody knows what that's called.
A lacrosse stick. I really don't want kids to have rocks. In that situation. I don't want kids to have rocks, period. That's how windows break. That's how
okay. The eyes other get solution was out. Every kid has to wear a vest. Yeah, a ballistics vest.
Fuck that, man.
And clear backpacks, apparently. It's like everything but the thing that's actually causing
literally,
it.
We're dancing around the problem.
Yeah. And I heard a point the other yesterday about like somebody saying that it should be all guns. Like not just those, the ones that are very like semi-automatic weapons. Like they're saying that if you really want to get rid of the problem is you get rid of all guns.
I don't think the solution to most things is to get rid of all of something.
Yeah. It's interesting though. Like they were getting upset that like they believe that was like whatever the people that want to get rid of those certain types of guns, like say that was not going too far. Well, they need to go further, and the further is to take away all guns.
No, there just needs to be gun regulation. Maybe where that person's coming from is someone that's from a less privileged neighborhood that might have seen a lot of deaths by guns, maybe not the AR.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you really want to, like, fend off all gun deaths, then you would have to get rid of all guns.
Yeah, but regulation like, would change the environment
The other thing is, like, if you really want to get rid of, like, those type of guns, don't outright ban them, tax them.
Mm-hmm.
Have them have a license to purchase ammo and the gun and the more important one is you have to have it be insured. So once you have to make a payment of let's say $200 every month to have a gun, how many people do you think would be like nope? And then you can apply the same logic they apply to it. We're not taking it away. It's there for you to have if you want it. Like, we're not taking it away. Like, there it is. You can have access to it. You have access to it.
Like cable.
No, like healthcare. They want to say, everybody can has like, all these people have access to, like, we're not taking it away. They have access to it. The same way we have access to a fucking 10 million mansion. You want
it so bad, pay for it.
No, you want it so bad. It's right there. Just go for it. It's not saying pay for it. It's like, there it is. Like, even saying like, oh, if you don't have it, it's because you really don't want it.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you should pick yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah.
You know, work one job, two jobs. Work as many jobs as you need.
Work five jobs. Don't even sleep. What do you need sleep for? What are you doing?
You don't deserve $15 an hour.
It's insane.
No, but my question was,
yes.
Why would you need, like,
need the license for to have that gun?
No. What, if with your license, mm-hmm. what are you doing with that gun? That particular gun, what would you work in a certain field? What industry, like, why would you
need that? No, you could still have it, you could for fun. Like, it's no different than, like, getting a license for a car.
But a car yields necessity.
But that, still, it's still like no different in that sense. Like, you get a license, so you are now in the DMV database. You get a gun, you are now in the gun database, if you will.
Gotcha.
But yeah, if you tax it at a higher rate, you tax the ammo at a higher rate. Let's say 100%. So if it costs you $1 to get a certain type of round, you would pay $2 because you're getting that plus the tax now.
Mm-hmm.
If you insure it, you're causing them to have a recurring thing. It's just getting more expensive. It's with, like, your car. You have to have insurance for it, and you need to buy gas to make it go. Pew-pew. And they tax freaking oil as well, gas. So what's the difference? And you have to, like, go in and renew your license, I would say, every 2 years, considering at the minimum every 2 years. because of what you're using is a gun whose sole purpose is to commit bodily harm. It wasn't made so people could go shoot at a target, because then you would have a bow and arrow, because now that's not is not a necessity to take somebody out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that point was pretty great, because that will deter quite a few people from having one if they can't afford one.
If you can't afford it, you don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I see so many people living in an apartment with a smartphone.
Yeah,
but I see you using your EBT card.
I'm sorry. All right, I think that was a good first episode.
It was all over the place.
We'll get better. This is just, I'm so fucking tired.
And we don't know what to do without Peter and Gwen, so this is a first for us.
This is a first, and it might be a last. I don't know. I'd have to be in a better headspace and not so tired. But at least you guys will get two episodes.
Oh, shit.
You get the normal Peter and Barry with Gwen and Iris.
Featuring.
Yeah, and now you get this one with
Barry plus one.
Barry and Iris. So, I don't know. If we like it, we'll keep doing it. And I'll denote which ones are.
It'll be a supplement, but don't think it's taking over the real thing.
Oh, never. No, what I was going to say is I'll denote them on the thing that's what this one is. So if you don't like hearing us, just us, then don't, you know? Come back next time for when the whole group is here, the whole gang. All right?
Scooby-Doo, pop, pop.
We'll see you guys in the next timeline.
Yeah.
Maybe then you'll like it.
The next universe.
The next universe. The View Askew universe. Ha! All right, well.
Earth 37.
All right, take it easy.
In a row?
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.